Describing an American pickle makes it seem like an assemblage of random ideas, and come to think of it, maybe it is. The film is an unusual hybrid of broad, fish-out-of-water comedy and heartfelt soul-searching, with a bizarre premise built upon a foundation of Kafkaesque weirdness, the screwball anarchy of Mel Brooks, and the sci-fi absurdity of Woody Allen's Sleeper. Based on a short story by Simon Rich, who also wrote the screenplay, An American Pickle begins in a Russian village in the early 20th century as a struggling ditch digger named Herschel Greenbaum, played by Seth Rogen, falls in love with a woman named Sara, played by Sarah Snook. They marry and emigrate to America to escape the Cossacks. Herschel dreams of becoming an entrepreneur and making a name for himself, and his job at a pickle factory seems to be a step in the right direction. That is, until he falls into a vat of brine and is trapped inside with the top sealed shut. 100 years later, the lid comes off, and Herschel emerges, blinking and confused and no different than when he was submerged, as if he were preserved in amber. Of course, his beloved Sara is long dead, and he comes to terms with the fact that he never got to meet his children or even his grandchildren. His closest living relative is his great-great-grandson, Ben, also played by Seth Rogen, who lets his unstuck-in-time ancestor move into his New York City apartment. Ben has inherited Herschel's entrepreneurial spirit, and he's trying to launch an app that allows you to take a picture of any product and instantly see the ethical standards of the company that made it. It's actually not a bad idea, but it's a concept that Herschel simply can't wrap his 100-year-old head around. Work should be arduous and punishing, he believes, and shouldn't involve sitting in front of a computer, an invention he obviously doesn't understand, trying to figure out what the logo for your promising new app should look like. Their relationship eventually fractures, especially when Herschel starts his own organic pickle cart, a huge hit in hipster Williamsburg, and begins sharing his political views on social media. His antiquated worldview makes him an incendiary political firebrand, a Trumpian figure who amasses a following because he simply says whatever horrible things are on his mind. It's in these scenes that An American Pickle starts to lose its footing for a bit. It's clearly going for the wistfully barbed satire of Hal Ashby's Being There, wherein a sheltered gardener unintentionally curries favor with the wealthy and elite. But it's not nearly focused enough to score any cogent satirical points, setting up its political angle before abruptly shifting gears once again and never turning back. I was curious about how closely the film resembles Rich's original short story, which is available on the New Yorker's website. I wasn't totally surprised to discover that the subplot involving Herschel's brief political aspirations is nowhere to be found in the story, which also includes a girlfriend character and makes more intentional stabs at urban gentrification and capitalism, as Herschel practically breaks his back to set up his DIY pickle operation and then sells out to Walmart at the drop of a hat. An American Pickle does write itself before it ends, though, and what's perhaps most surprising is that it closes on a note that's both soulful and completely earnest. Its final scenes, which find both men in the village from which Herschel originally escaped, introduce a sincere meditation on Jewish heritage, and they're so sweet that you almost wish some of the hijinks beforehand had been trimmed away. The movie also works surprisingly well as a showcase for Seth Rogen, who's on screen at just about every moment, often twice. Part of his shaggy appeal as an actor has been that he always seems to be playing himself, an amiable stoner who can still throw out a perfectly timed one-liner. But here, he actually gets to act, particularly in his scenes as poor Herschel, and he proves that he can really do it. For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Nathan Weinbender.